And this is so important. This is so important. And I want to put this in your spirit here because it's absolutely necessary. Okay? John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask anything what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I want you to see something here because I want to emphasize this. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That's what he said. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So anything taught from the word of God on the subject of prayer is covered in John 15:7. It's covered. My words, if they abide. Now, we put together Isaiah 43:25-26 together with John 15:7. Reminder, here's what it says in Isaiah 43:25-26. Here's what it says, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. That's interesting. And will not remember thy sins. Now look at this. God saves you for his sake. All right, now 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that they mayest be justified. Now it's wonderful to know that God blotted out our sins and he doesn't remember them anymore. See, we remember them. The devil remembers them, but God doesn't because they're blotted out. Now, in verse 26 of Isaiah 43, God says to put him in remembrance. We can put him in remembrance of the fact that he has blotted out our transgressions and does not remember our sins. But it also puts God in remembrance concerning other places, other things, for instance, prayer, John 15:7. So, but if his words don't abide in you, you don't have anything to remind him of. That's the reason to get full of the word of God. Now, again, in another translation, Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. I like this part right here. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. That's NASB. I'm going to read that again because that's a powerful thought. Isaiah 43:26. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. Now, that's a challenge. Isn't that a challenge? That sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? I can see God pointing a finger at us and say, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. Now, we know that he wants us to lay our problems or whatever that we're praying about before him. We understand that. He says to plead our case. So remind him what he has said, to set forth our cause, to state our case that we may be justified. Now, I want you to see this because the importance of here is so, so, so wonderful. So whatever it is that you're praying about, find scripture that covers your case and lay it before the master. Okay, you have a special need in your life. For instance, you need some finances. My God shall supply all my need. You need healing. Remind God. You said you are the Lord thy God that healeth me. That's what he told us to do. So basically, the Bible is God speaking to me. I'm going to say it out loud. You say it out loud yourself. The Bible is God speaking to me. Say it out loud one time right here. The Bible is God speaking to me. So it's concerning us. Concerning us. Find scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for, and you'll have a solid foundation for faith. Knowing what the word tells us gives us the authority in prayer. See, there's some Christians, unfortunately, that don't believe we have the right to ask God for anything. I've met some. You probably met some. I hope you're not one. That's not what God's word says in John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will. See, he says, ask what you will and it shall be done. The key is ask. The word ask there actually means demand. Do you know that? In the Greek, it means demand. So you say to God, God, I'm asking, I'm demanding. That's what it says. Don't get mad at me. Look it up in your own lexicons and your own word studies. Whatever you had. I mean, just look that up. Just look that up. Some of you are looking it up right now. That's great. Do that. Do that. Look it up. What an opportunity here to go to God and say, okay, God, I need your help. Sure. And I'm going to ask you. That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. I'm going to ask you. What are you going to ask him? Lord, I'm going to ask you some wonderful things. What are you going to ask him? What are you going to ask him? Well, here's what you're going to ask. God, your word says. Your word says. Your word says. That's what it says. Lord, that's what it says. If I abide in you and you in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what? That's what it says. You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See the key? Remember the word ask there. It's such a powerful word. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Ye shall ask. Ye shall ask. God, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you something. Here I come with my asking. Here I come, Lord. Lord, I'm going to ask you. That's what I'm going to do. And God, I'm going to come and simply desire, call. I'm going to ask you. And God, I'm going to come to you because you said I can ask and I will. And because your word says I can ask, I shall. It's a request of something you desire. We're not demanding God in the tones of arrogance. No, we'd never do that. But we're taking our place in the covenant authority. We have the right to benefit that belongs to us. Now, let's put all these verses together. Isaiah 43:26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Okay? John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, according to God's word, we have a certain amount of authority to plead our case, ask in prayer, and demand what belongs to us in the name of Jesus. We can do that. We can do that. Have you ever pleaded your case for a need in front of God like an attorney or a barrister or a lawyer would? I mean, have you ever really done that? Nothing wrong with it, but most people don't do it because they don't know to do it. So you go to him, the Lord, with your case. That's what it said. Lord, this certain thing in my life, in this certain situation, you told me, let us plead together. That means I can plead my case and you can plead yours. See, the timing, there's timing there. There may be somebody that's extremely ill. Plead your case. Never have a better time. So God said, this is what's happening. Okay. And now I plead my case before you. This is what's going on. And now I plead my case before you. Now, something we know. We know every part of the Word of God is true. We know that. Sure we do. We know exactly that every word of God is true. I don't believe, hopefully, that we disagree with that statement. That the word of God is true. Now, if that's the case, then the word of God can be applied to situations. I believe that's the case. That's what happened when we get saved. Lord, you said you'd save me if I confess my sins to you and accept you as my Savior. And God, you died for me at Calvary's cross. I ask you for forgiveness. We believe that. You see. Now, this is important. In Matthew 18, 19 is a great scripture. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. See, in Matthew 18, 19, you have to have two people. One, two. You got to find that second person. And that second person, you agree with them for that need or what's going on there. You agree with that. See, and these passages of scripture, there comes occasion when they can be applied to your situation. Now, is Philippians 1:21 just as true as Mark 11:24? Sure. Sure. Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. That's true. That's true. So that's as true as Mark 11:24. And when you understand how to use the Word of God correctly, and that's the problem a lot of times. See, Paul did something very interesting. You know, he decided when to go and when to stay. We know that Christians die and they're present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. We know that sometimes it's better for the purpose to stay on the earth. Philippians 1:21. Let's put this together right here. Philippians 1:21 through 25 from the NASB. 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. All right? 23. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. Whoa. What? He said, I don't know what to do. 23. For I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart to be with Christ. But that is very much better. That's greater. That's better. 23. Yet to remain on the flesh and in the flesh is more necessary for you. So if I go to heaven, yay team. And if I stay here, yay team for you. 25. And I'm convinced of this. I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. So Paul says, if I go with the Lord, it's a lot better, but I'm staying here because of your sake. Isn't that fascinating? See, Christians who die go to be with God, but it doesn't necessarily mean God took them. That's right. That's right. You plead your case before God. And sometimes you gotta say, God, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. See, the leading of the Spirit of God can lead you in the saying, you know, Lord, I'm not finished yet. There's a lot to do. You ever hear people say that? I don't think it's my turn to die. I don't think I have so much to do. And they don't die. And I've heard people say, oh, I'm ready to go with Jesus. I'm ready now. I'm ready to go with Jesus. Somebody claimed Psalm 91:16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there you go. And Exodus 23:26 says, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. What is the number of the days? No one knows, do we? But see, if we say, God, I believe that individual is not done yet for ministry, for what you want for them. And for personally, God, I still got to keep going. Lord, I got to keep going. There's another broadcast to do, another soul to talk to, another series to teach. And I want to keep on going, living. But I've heard people say, well, I'm just so worn out. I'm so worn out. I'm so worn out. Because we wear out. Our physical body wears out. We know that. We know that. 2 Peter 1:14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, that's the physical body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. That was 2 Peter 1:14. So he said, there's going to come a time when I'm going to wear out. I'm going to just word out. And so we know that, but we plead the case. We plead the case, say, okay, God, in my life and what I'm doing and where I'm going and what you want me to do, and Father, I plead the case because I know that your word says that that person can be healed today. I know, Lord, there's a miracle that can happen in that person's life. I trust in you for that. And I plead with you that this person is not done yet. They need a miraculous miracle. That's what God is talking about. That's what God is trying to tell us. So the authority of the believer is such a powerful, wonderful right we have that God has given us. And it's more than just overcoming the devil. The reason we have so much trouble with the devil is that we allow the devil to give us that trouble. That's right. It's up to us, not up to the enemy. We empower the enemy to destroy us. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We empower him. What we say, what we believe, how we act, what we do. You have that authority. Function in it. Plead your case.